Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon, everybody. You've been working really hard so far this morning, sort of listening and answering emails, texts, whatever. So I hope you don't mind if I get you doing a little bit of work now, because this is going to be a bit of an interactive presentation, which means you're going to take part and you're going to decide where it goes. We'll see how that works. Can I ask a question first? I know you all work in HE or related and are probably used to asking questions more than answering them, but my turn to turn the tables. Can I ask you to put your hands up if you currently work for a local authority? Ah, good. I am the only local authority employee at the conference. Don't know if I'm meant to be scared, honored by that or whatever, but thank you for inviting me here today. Okay, the project we've got was funded by JISC, which I'm sure a number of you are probably more familiar with than I was when I first heard about them. But we were funded by JISC, we were partnered by Serco, and we got together really as a rationale to try and find out, to see if there was some way we could test this theory out about shared services, whether it would work or not. So, first bit of task, you now have a choice, and this will really test the risk appetite in the room, I guess. So, if you choose to take the red pill from the film The Matrix, you'll get the official line and we can go through project structures and all sorts of things. But if you want to take the blue pill, might have a different route through it. So, your choice. Hands up for red. Ooh. One. Ooh, doesn't like risk. Hands up for blue. Oh, fantastic. It'll be the blue one then, please. Okay, first a question then. Are we shooting people or what? Don't know, that's the answer. I'm trying to find out. Anybody idea what film that comes from? Pulp Fiction? Pulp Fiction? No, good try. Actually from Three Kings. And I think the point with this slide is really it's worth having a strategy when we go off down this road. As much tactics as we like, it's probably worth having a little idea of the rules of engagement before we start. Yeah? Excuse me. Just understanding that from the BBC website today, the world's changing. By Wednesday, if you thought you've got to make lots of savings now, by Wednesday, the US administration has to save $1.2 trillion. I don't know what that is a second, but time's ticking now, so it's pretty quick. Okay, so sticking with the film quotes, I like these. Back to the future, we've already seen this morning that there's nothing new under the sun, but don't worry, you know, it's fairly straightforward, all this sort of bits. As long as you hit that wire with the connecting hook at precisely 88 miles per hour, the instant the lightning strikes the tower, everything will be fine. It's a bit like that with shared services. As long as you get the risk sorted out and you get the strategic buy-in and you get everybody on board and you get those turkeys who don't want to vote for Christmas on board, it'll be all right. It's really good. There's lots of positives out there. Yeah? The key thing is you can't ignore it. Okay, so why do we want to do this thing called shared services? Well, back to the future. 1970s. We were sharing services. We had big mainframes. We bought a number of MIPS on them. So we bought the bit of processing for our payroll department in the finance team, because that's who had ownership of IT. And they did it. 1990s, we threw all that away and we went to outsource and we gave it all away to somebody else because it's far easier to give it out to somebody else to do. And what did they do? They sold us the concept of big data centers sharing stuff and whatever else to do it so they could make more money. And now, in 2010, we've got the economic driver that's the cloud. Now, there's all different levels of this, and I'm not a real big fan of the cloud, and I can bore you with my opinion on that, if you like. But the key thing is here is, it's not a fluffy, innocent service. It is a big data center somewhere in the country with high gross value-adding jobs in a place that may not be where you live. Why does that matter? If it doesn't matter now, it'll soon become apparent. But really, we want to do it because we've got to share skills. I can't afford to keep all the skills up to date, and I know some of the people in the university have got them. I need to maximize the investment. We can talk long and hard about procurement and all those good things, but fundamentally, we've got to make the money go further because we're going to have less of it. And we've got to reduce the costs. And we have the front office, back office debate, and I was boring people with my view again around that at lunchtime in the coffee break. But those things blur. Where does back office begin? Where does front office start? From a local authority perspective, I'm back office. Politicians love that because I can be slashed, cut, burned, and put away. We've got to protect the frontline services. Except that if you take away my service, you end up taking away the ability to make phone calls, to send emails, to process data, to do backs payments, etc. And that's all pretty frontline. The web, most people hit the website before they hit the council. So is that front of front office? Not quite sure. Anyway, so where did we start? Well, we started when we got together as a group, facilitated by Serco, thinking about how do we minimize those areas where we're different? Yeah? We didn't want to go forward with the unique, the bespoke, the special, and all the bits of it. What we wanted to do was maximize all the common components. So we didn't want to do that, but we wanted to have the big tick on all the things that we knew were going to lead to saving money. Yeah? We started from the premise of sort of stabilizing the situation, then trying to standardize it, deduplicate it, then automate it as much as possible. And that was the sort of route through to the savings. So we looked around having Microsoft-centric strategies, and I know you may or may not like Microsoft or whatever else, but that's beside the way. It was about having a common aim, the infrastructure, the desktop, the service desk. Could we have common ITIL processes? All those sort of things that would lead us in future to be better. Now, don't look at this slide and think, what are all those bits on it? Because that's not important. What is all those words represent an opportunity for you. They all represent something that can be shared. The infrastructure, the network, the data center, the storage capacity. Who cares where stuff's stored? Who cares what email system it is? As long as the email gets through, there may be some issues around the domain, but there's really not too much interest in the hardware. None of your organizations will be differentiating yourselves in the prospectus by saying, we run HP hardware or PolyServe, or we use VMware as opposed to something else. It's unlikely, and it's probably not the bit that really adds value to your organization. So take the cost out of it. So what could we do? Well, we ended up pretty quickly with a list of about 45 things that we could do. And again, I'm not going to bore you and read through them, but we evaluated them around impact, cost, time, and risk. So impact to the organization, if it was a good impact, it scored high. It was sort of a mini business case, if you like. The cost was not only the delivery cost, but also whether there were benefits associated with it. So what was the net cost, if you like? Time. Is it a quick win? So it scored 10 if we could do it immediately, 1 if it was going to be sort of 3 years or longer. And the reason we picked 3 years was simply because that's probably what we thought was the most reasonable time frame that any of us could even try to predict. Although 3 weeks may be a more realistic thing now. And then risk, 10 if there's no risk. Some things are no risk. 1, if it's absolute no. Now, for me, what's an example of an absolute no? Security. In a local authority world, my environment, I've got to be able to work with central government. I've got to share records with the police, the NHS, DWP. And the thought of having 30,000 bright young students having access to that sort of network and capability, probably much more so than some of my average social workers, but the fear of that's pretty big, but it's not an obstacle. But we did have some hurdles. I mean, you've heard this morning about the cultural differences, the network openness, the security issues. They're my sort of hurdles, if you like. But the key one there is the middle one, the alliance is. And that's really what I suppose I'm trying to talk about today. Again, we've talked about the timing and all those bits, but I really want to focus on that middle one. So the geographic pull against the sectoral pull. From a local authority point of view, we need to work with other local authorities, the NHS, and the public sector in general. But we need to start thinking about economic development. Remember that data center, the cloud, I don't want that migrating as much as I might upset some people down the M4 corridor. We have a need for jobs in Plymouth. A data center potentially helps secure those jobs in Plymouth. It helps create jobs and opportunities for the students at the university. So there's actually an area where we've got quite a lot of commonality around the geography of what we do. There are still the sectoral pulls around academia and research, and we've heard again talking about that today. But there's an awful lot that can drive us forward. So some of the things we looked at, again, just to get right, the maturity. We're both in about the same sort of place, which was good. And talking about benchmarks, we both benchmarked reasonably well with Serco, and part of the advantage of bringing them is we were able to test that against outsourcing benchmarks. So we knew whether we were in the right ballpark to save the sort of money we wanted. And that may not be the same for every organization. So you need to go through that process to have a look. But going through that process does deliver some tangible benefits. We both had some money to put into the pot. We both knew that if we put that together, we should expect some savings out. And you've, again, 10%, 20%, 25%. But conservatively, we said 1.6 million out of a spend of about 13.7 million. But there are some obstacles to get that. But we don't think that's the end of the story because, as I said, that's a very conservative element to try and bring out. And there are quick wins on the way. There are things you can do really easily to start saving money. Service desk, there's a drive to sort of extend the opening hours of the service desk 24/7 and so on and so forth. So they're all there and the long-term gains are possible. But the strategic buy-in is critical. The senior people can be distracted by, well, we can work with these people. Somebody else comes along with an offer. So you've got to corral them in and you've got to get that buy-in. This is not something you can drive from the middle out, in my experience. You've got the competing and shifting national agendas. I've now got to collaborate with health. We've got to take on board public health into the local authority. You guys have got all your challenges around the whole sector. And that's not going to stop. So how do we get the strategic focus on this when everything else is changing? By some hard work, really, and selling the benefits of doing that. And there are just too many options for people. There's just too much for people to do. So without strategic buy-in, it's going to go nowhere. And we've seen that sort of hand show this morning, didn't we, or earlier this afternoon, just before lunch, about how many people are thinking about it and then how many people are doing it and or want to do it. So it is quite a challenging. So just to try and summarize very quickly to give people a chance to ask some questions later. I'm not aware of any organizations differentiating on their hardware. You need to determine where you add the value. But it can be done. There are real benefits to doing that. The belief and the buy-in from your senior people is critical. I can't emphasize that enough. We've had two or three, Daniel, I think, wherever he was talking about the exit plan and so on. It critical, have that prenup agreement in the calm of the day when everyone's still friends. Talk about how in those unlikely circumstances that you may come to a natural end that you just want to finish it on a nice note and don't go in for mediation and get the lawyers involved at the end. Yeah, so do that calmly and quietly up front because that's when you're going to benefit. So thank you. There's some names and email and phone numbers if you want to phone me about it. But to leave you with a filmic quote, which is where I started, really. I think this is pretty inevitable. We've got an economic wind blowing through the world that's challenging things quite heavily. So have a think about it yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.